Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And don't begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the tree. And God will cut down every tree that does not bear fruit. You know, when John the Baptist appeared, people thought of him as a rebel, a renegade. You know, his dad had nice cut hair because he was a priest. And priests were to keep their hair cut nicely. John the Baptist never cut his hair his whole life. Zechariah, his dad, he wore beautiful clothes as he served as a priest. John the Baptist wore a desert prophet's rags. His father served in God's presence in the temple. John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. Now, it would seem that John was a renegade, a rebel against his father. But his dad let him know what his call was, and he was faithful to his calling. John the Baptist was to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of their children to their fathers. He was to do heart work because the Messiah was coming. And so God set him apart to be a Nazarite. He never cut his hair so that it would be obvious when people saw him. He was set apart for this important heart work. He wore a desert prophet's clothes because he came in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah, a desert prophet of the Old Testament. And he was out there in the wilderness because it's in the wilderness that God does his best heart work. He always has. It was in the wilderness that God did his heart work with the people of Israel, bringing them out of Egypt and having them wander in the wilderness, right? For 40 years, as he shaped them and made them his own people. The prophet Elijah was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and that's where he heard the still small whisper of God. It's in the wilderness that God does his best heart work. And I would like to share with you my ministry, because even though it appears that you don't live in a wilderness here, more and more the world around you is becoming a spiritual wilderness. And you have the same call as I do, a call to be the voice of God. A voice of God in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Messiah. First of all, I was the voice of God to break hearts. My message was simple. Repent. Repent just means to be sorry. To be sorry for what you've done. Now, many of the people who came out to hear me at the Jordan, they understood that word. They willingly admitted their sins. And many of you are just like them. Every time you come into this beautiful building, your first action before God is in spirit to kneel before God and admit that I am by nature sinful. But the reality is that most of the time we probably don't fully appreciate what we are confessing. You know, the words that God spoke in Genesis chapter 8 after the flood seem way too harsh. When we confess our sins, we tend to think in terms of we did this wrong and we did that wrong. But God's judgment on us after the flood was to imagine every inclination or imagination of a person's heart is only evil from childhood. You see, it's not that you and I have done a few things wrong. It's that our sin contaminates everything that we do. Isaiah's words break my heart, wherein he says that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And so I come in a prophet's rags and join with you in broken heart. And confess not just the little sins of anger or greed or lies, but the big sins. That like you, I have failed to love God above all things, to trust in God above all things, to fear God above all things. Our hearts are broken by that knowledge of our sin. I confess that I am by nature sinful. But there were some people who came out to the Jordan whose hearts were not broken. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came out not because they felt this burden of sin, but because they felt they were here and came out to judge me and the rest of us. And so I had to follow in the footsteps of the prophet Jeremiah, where he said that God's word is like a hammer that breaks the heart into pieces. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, you brood of vipers. I had to warn the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they were not so good that God just had to love them. And that's true of all of us too. You see, the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will come to be the judge. And he won't judge by our standards, but by the standard of his perfection. And so I implore all of you to look into your hearts and see that you have failed your God just like me. We come confessing because our hearts are broken. But that's not the primary reason why I came to the Jordan. I came as God's voice to heal hearts. You know, there were a lot of washings in the Old Testament, ceremonial washings, baptizing of things. But I had the commission from God to do a new kind of washing. It was called a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. When people came out from Jerusalem and Judea and they stepped down into the Jordan River, they were admitting with me that they were by nature sinful. And they received that baptism, confessing their sins and receiving God's promise of forgiveness. I didn't fully understand this promise until the day that the Messiah came to be baptized by me. You know, when the Messiah came, I tried to convince him that he should baptize me. I'm the sinful one, and I knew that in him was no sin. but he wouldn't be persuaded. You know, I didn't understand why would it be right for the person who had no sin to enter into a baptism of repentance, of sorrow for sin and forgiveness of sins. I just didn't get it. But after the fact, started to think about it, and I realized that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And I thought about my father, Zechariah. As he served in the temple, people would come in and bring in their sin offerings, a goat. And he would instruct them how they were to put their hands on the head of that goat. And they were to confess their sins, their guilt, their shame, their sentence of death onto that goat. And then my father would help them to slaughter that goat because the wages of sin is death. And I began to understand that Jesus came for this express purpose of being the fulfillment of all of those animal sacrifices. That when we confess our sins, we're really not confessing them out into the air. But by faith, we're putting our hands on the head of the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And we confess on the head of God himself. And he takes on the death that we deserved. And as I understood that, I thought about the words that God the Father spoke that marvelous day that Jesus was baptized. He said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And I realized that if Jesus is the Lamb of God who has taken on my death and my sin and your death and your sin, then God the Father looks at us and he says the exact same thing. And so as people came up out of the Jordan River, it was my privilege to heal their hearts with this marvelous news. You know, I heard God the Father say to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And in this baptism, you can hear God say the same thing to you. "You are my Son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Every day, you and I can go back to that baptism and find healing for our broken hearts. You and I are the voice of God to heal hearts. Now, some people, when they hear that message of forgiveness, think that's too easy. They think that somehow there must be something that we have to do to gain that message that God is pleased with us, that God can only be pleased with us because we do good stuff for him. And the reality is there's nothing that you and I can do that would be so good that God would suddenly have to say, "I am pleased with you." No, God's being pleased with us is only because of Jesus. But when you and I believe that, it does change everything, doesn't it? Then there rises up within our hearts a desire to serve God. And so people ask me, "What should we do?" And I realized I was also God's voice in the wilderness to instruct hearts. The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and do the same with food. And when soldiers came, they said, "What should we do?" And I said, Be content with your pay. Now that surprised many people, because an awful lot of people thought, oh, what God really wants is for everybody to become a Nazarite like me, to go out into the desert and to serve God, that's really the way you serve God. I know in the history of God's church, people had that idea. They became hermits. They became monks. And don't get me wrong. You can serve God out in the desert. And we do need people like me, people like my father, Zechariah the priest, who dedicate their lives in a special way to God's service. My father, Zechariah, talked to you about the importance of pastors and teachers and staff ministers for God's church in your day. But I want you to remember that the most important God work doesn't happen here. It happens in your homes and in your places of work and in your school. What should we do? I explained, be generous. And remember, my call is to turn the hearts of fathers to their children. And so I would ask those of you who are parents, do your children see that you have experienced this incredible generosity of God that He gave His Son for you? Do they see that you want to be like your Father in heaven and that you are incredibly generous in your interactions? Do they see that there is this sense of contentment, that you know that the Messiah has come and that He will give you what you need? And so there is not grumbling at the supper table, but there is joy and contentment in all that God gives. And children, I'm called to turn the hearts of children to their fathers. Do you see and look to your parents and respect how they are role models for you to serve your God? Now, the more we try to do this, the more we're going to see that we fail and how weak we are. The more we appreciate that healing of God's, of our hearts that we receive in our baptisms. And the more I appreciate what happened that day when Jesus was baptized, that the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus in the form of a dove. And I know that God promises that when you and I are baptized, that same Holy Spirit comes down and lives in us and gives us strength and power to become more and more the kind of parents and children and co-workers and friends that God wants us to be, so that we can fulfill our calling to prepare people for the Messiah's return. I can tell you, I loved my ministry, but it was all too short. I recognized that my ministry was to break hard hearts. And when I heard that my king had caused his brother's marriage to break apart, and then he lives with his brother's wife, I called him to repentance. And the king threw me into jail. But I wasn't worried, because you see, Messiah was coming. And I knew that pretty soon the Messiah would rise in power, and that He would release me from prison, and I would join Him in this powerful reign. But after a while, I began to realize that wasn't happening. and that I was probably going to die here in prison. Now, I'm human just like you. I began to wonder and question, is this really what God means to do? So I sent my disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one who was to come or not? You don't seem to be the Messiah that I thought you would be. And what did Jesus say? He said, go tell John. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the brokenhearted. And I realized he directed me back to Isaiah 35. That all these were signs that he truly was the Messiah. And it was that encouragement that prepared me for what I faced. And I share this with you because you and I all faced the same thing. I could see that my death was approaching when I saw the soldier walk in with the platter. I knew what was coming. I could see that he was my executioner. I saw death coming. I don't know when death is going to come to you, but I know it's going to come. How do you know that Jesus is the Messiah? I would encourage you to read about his life for yourself. And see that the signs are fulfilled. And that he will raise you from the dead. I have to go pretty soon. My ministry is over. But the Messiah is going to come back. And there are people all around you who live in a wilderness who don't know that Jesus is that Messiah. And so I would ask you to carry on my ministry for me, to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah on the last day, to break hearts, to heal hearts with forgiveness, to instruct hearts, to encourage hearts with the promise of eternal life. Would you join me in that work? And right now, I'd ask you to join with me and sing a song because I have an appointment with my executioner. With my Savior. And I need you to encourage my heart. I'd like to use the words of another prophet who lived about 1,500 years after Jesus' birth. He penned these incredible words. Please put them up on the screen. What harm can sin and death then do? True God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother, you are safe. Could you sing those words into my heart? Here comes my executioner. Please stand and encourage my heart. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother, you are safe.